Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. And of course, last night we had some, no, actually yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
Did you love this yesterday afternoon, 3 o'clock?
I would have preferred it at like 5. 3 was a little early.
Okay.
I would have preferred it at like 5, but I'm not going to look a whatever a gift horse is in the mouth.
The Fighting Irish move on over the Bulldogs.
Leonard on 3rd down and 7. Georgia needs a stop. He hurdles Malachi Starks and has a first down.
Sean McDonough with the call on ESPN 20.
He's a beast.
He is a beast.
Oh, he's great.
And you've been tweeting this randomly. This is nerdy broadcaster stuff. It is amazing how just the same voice can fit in a different sport better than the other. Marv Albert was nothing as an NFL guy compared to NBA.
Right, right.
Yeah. Joe Tessitore, so much better, I think, in like boxing or fighting than he is in football. You may think he's better in college than pros.
I think he's better in college than the pro, for sure. His excitement. You know, it's like you don't want too excited in the NFL.
Like McDonough as a Monday night guy just didn't feel as good as I loved him in baseball growing up. Yeah. But baseball, college, football for Sean McDonough.
Absolutely. Totally agree. I think McDonough is phenomenal. They're like, you want a big game, give me Sean McDonough at the college game.
Herb Street for me. I don't like Herb Street on Thursday night football.
Much better in college.
Nothing compared to Saturday night with Fowler.
It's crazy.
Right?
It really is nuts how it works like that.
Yeah.
This is going to be something interesting to follow that you're not going to be able to get an answer to today. But you know how we talk about in Major League Baseball that the teams that that have a bye, right, the teams that get the bye into the division series, don't play in the wild card round, they lose like 80% of the series. Well, teams that had a bye are 0-4 in the college playoff, and they were outscored 42-3 in the first quarter.
Wow. Rest versus rust.
So, look, these teams had about a month off. I mean, the last time Georgia played was the 5th, December 5th.
Yep.
The last time Oregon played, same day. The last time Boise played, right? Same time, Arizona State, same day.
Does that most apply to Oregon, though? Like because when you look at circumstances, obviously, right. Carson Beck's out for Georgia. They lost him. And then you've got the two others, Boise
and Carson, try to show a little excitement, by the way.
There is. He can't.
Good gosh. Your backup throws a touchdown and your team scores. It makes it look like you're rooting against them. Smile, kid.
Get that Romo look off your face when your backup scores.
He's got eyes like, I'm in a legalized state right now.
He's got Missouri eyes, if you know what I mean.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sure don't know
finish
you,
up your point. Meth.
Yeah, there you go. See, Sean.
All right, very nice.
Meth, Missouri. But back to the Oregon question
so,
and the starts.
Like, you know, with Oregon, it plays. You know, Georgia, didn't have a quarterback. How is the game different if they had Carson Beck? But they were still rusty. The guy had three. It's not like this was a two-star recruit. It's a five-star, four-star, five-star quarterback, depending on the publication you're using. He was a good player, or he's got value there. So all these teams, losing is not necessarily the end-all, be-all. For the stat, but the fact that you're outscored 42-3 in the first quarter, which is you're trying to get rid of the rust. I mean, I think that absolutely plays. And I don't know if they shrink the time off or not.
So now Notre Dame, Penn State, and then Ohio State, Texas.
Yep.
Final four.
And, you know, Texas is now like a 6.5-point dog from what I've seen. It'll come back down, I think, a little bit, the hype of the Ohio State. I have not seen a line on Notre Dame, Penn State. I think Penn State, though, I know that Georgia's quarterback situation is a little bit weird. I think Penn State is doing jumping jacks. They're jumping around that they don't have to play Georgia. I don't think they want any part of Georgia's defense either.
I don't think that Georgia kid, he's not a bum, though. He's got an arm.
Yeah.
He made a couple throws. I was like, all right, there's some zip on there. Not a total bum backup. We got some Longhorn Sun Devil fallout as Cam Scataboo reacted on social media. Someone posted a picture of him set up at a bar with friends, family, and this took me right to Nashville, Tennessee. Now that I am a Vanderbilt Commodore.
There you go. For now.
For now. Yeah. NIL. This just looked like the setup that we had. We're staying in the Vanderbilt team hotel, and everyone just commiserates and talks right there in that lobby area.
It looked like it was the lobby bar.
Yeah, it was the lobby bar, and people are like, look, no wonder he's throwing up. That was my first thought. I was like, this guy looks like he could put down the college football kegger himself. Well, Cam had an explanation for the puking on the Dan Patrick Show.
Yeah, I think I was drinking a little too much water and Powerade. You know, at the same time, I think I ate something bad in the morning. I had a croissant breakfast sandwich, and I don't think it went down very well. And I wasn't feeling too good all the way leading up to the game, and until I threw up. You know, I threw up, and I felt like a completely different person. And you know, after that throw up, you know, the game switched for me and how I was playing. It was completely different for me. So. It was nice. You know, I looked down, took a deep breath, puked, took another deep breath, and then got back on the field and, you know, played my game of football. So
the power of the puke, baby. Power pull the trigger.
He's such a liar. There's no way.
He says, though.
He doesn't drink.
He says he doesn't drink. He wrote back to this Twitter photo. Dude's a clown. That was 8:30 p.m. I was with family. They were drinking alcohol. If you knew anything about me, you know I don't drink, but I'm sure you posted this because you couldn't get a picture or autograph. Man, some people just want the clout, and it's sickening.
Yeah, sickening. When was the last time bread made any of you sick? If you didn't have celiac,
bad egg.
Do you peel the little spot of mold off the bread if you find it? Like you got the final two pieces of bread for the sandwich, and there's a little blue mark.
It's penicillin. It's good for you.
Do you peel? Oh, you would. Burn down the Wonder Company.
Probably
if it was
would.
You wouldn't. No way you're peeling it off and eating it. Chop, do you do it?
I'm not eating the bread.
You're not?
No.
That little piece of cheese on the corner? Oh, you know, I'm ripping it off and moving forward.
If it's mold on the cheese, that might be a different story. Because cheese is supposed to get mold, right?
Well, not just like sit in your fridge and get moldy. No, yeah. Not necessarily. But this is clearly a lie. This is clearly party too hard.
I have never heard the croissant made me sick. Maybe it was the ham on there. Maybe it was the sausage.
Yeah, the egg, the sausage, the ham, whatever, the bacon.
Or maybe the Jewel. Maybe the Jewel made him sick. Not the actual Jewel thing, but the hotel, the Jewel, or something like that. I'm not buying the story at all.
All right, let's go around the National Football League. The New York Jets are in all these headlines, choppy, as they are interviewing Ron Rivera, interviewing Rex Ryan, and yesterday completed the GM interview of Lewis Riddick, ESPN.
And they are going to do the most Jets thing of all time. They do not see any offensive candidates as standouts. That's from Rich Samini, and he's like the Todd Archery, right?
He's a good reporter.
From the ESPN, from the Jets. They don't see any of the offensive candidates as standouts. I'm going to say that again. Ben Johnson is not a standout. Slowick, not a standout. Kubiak, not a standout.
Joe Brady.
They don't see any of these guys as standouts. So they're going to go the defensive coach route. And this is an organization who hasn't hired a defensive coach since Rich Kotite.
No way.
Offensive coach since Rich Kotite.
Wow.
You've had Mangini. You've had Rex. You've had
Sala.
I mean, it's awful. It's an awful organization. They don't hire any offensive coaches.
But Rex got his interview.
But Rex got his interview. Ron Rivera got his interview. Vrabel's getting his interview today.
Vrabel's interviewing the Jets today?
Yep, that's the latest report is that Mike Vrabel will be interviewing the New York Jets today. So you might want to get on that, Cowboys, if you're interested.
Aaron Glenn is probably going to interview.
Albert Breer reports that Brian Flores, a name to watch for the Bears head coaching opening. Breer had Ben Johnson loving the Bears a long time ago. Flores was a Boston College teammate of Ryan Poles, the GM in 03, and they have similar roots in the Belichick system. Then the big name. I had to question this because it came from one of the aggregators, but Tom Pelissero, and others are saying that Chucky is a name to watch during the upcoming cycle. Multiple teams have reportedly been doing extensive work on John Gruden. Ugh. Is that legit or agent leak?
No, I buy that.
There are certain teams I think that can probably get away with it.
I think there's some people who... I think there's some teams who defiantly would go, I thought John was a good coach, and he got railroaded. But let's talk to him. Let's give him a shot.
I think that Mark Davis would bring him back again.
Yeah.
If he could.
Look, I'll be
honest.
Was
he forced to get rid of him?
I think this team would be one of the teams that would be like, we'll talk to him. If their job came open, I think they would absolutely.
Why do you say that? Because
think about Jerry in general. Okay, you've got, it's an offensive coach. It's a Super Bowl winner. It's somebody who has coached recently and has been the only reason. But it wasn't like he was driven out of the league for performance. He was driven out of the league for something off the side. How much does Jerry love the redemption story? Jerry always tells us he's a man of redemption. And Jerry almost kind of defiantly like, ooh, you want to cause some buzz? You want to see what happens if I hire John Gruden here? An offensive mind who can work with Dak Prescott? Let's go.
And he was forced out.
Yeah,
but Mark Davis did not want to do that.
Right.
He was furious that he had to do it.
And I mean, look, there's a. I think Bobby's right for the Cowboys. Like Jerry can do whatever he wants. Like Jerry doesn't have to worry about perception because Jerry doesn't care about perception. Like he doesn't, you know, he doesn't care. He believes all publicity is good publicity, so he could absolutely do this.
Yeah, this is one of like maybe three teams I think in the NFL that would think they could get away with hiring him.
So you buy it?
Yeah, I believe that there are teams that want to talk to him.
I don't think I could lose John Gruden off the Barstool content now. I'm enjoying it so much.
It's fantastic.
I have not consumed Barstool as much as when John Gruden is doing his stuff for them.
How much would you love it, though, if you got to interview Gruden on Fridays?
Oh! Oh! 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Drake May is expected to start for the Patriots against the Bills as we're looking at the number one pick. Carson Wentz is going to start for the Chiefs against the Broncos. The Broncos are still trying to get into the postseason, and the Miami Dolphins still have a shot to stay alive. It's not going to be Tua. It's going to be Huntley that's playing for them. So these are some of the playoff storylines.
So how many people? It's not just Mahomes sitting in Kansas City. It must be everybody, too.
Denver's a 10.5.
I was going to say,
favorite.
If Denver's a 10.5-point favorite, which is the spread that I saw this morning, that's got to be there. No one's playing in that one. Yes, but come on, Carson Wentz. That's a former borderline MVP.
Gutless.
Saquon Barkley went and made a couple of commercials. This is for some type of sleep aid in Unisom. And here's the Saquon commercial poking fun at the Giants owner who said, he better not go to Philadelphia or I'll be losing some Z's.
I've heard you guys have some trouble sleeping lately. We got a big game coming up. You should rest up. Maybe try some Unisom. I don't need it, but you might. I'm going to sleep like a baby.
Okay, my first issue and question here is, he's going, I don't need this product.
Yeah, but I don't either.
I was like, is that the wisest pitch, man? Is that the wisest endorsement? Now, they got millions and millions of views off this because of the trolling. But I was like, when's the last time someone's like, I don't use this, but you should use it. And then here's the second commercial Saquon cut.
I heard some of you were having trouble sleeping, so I wrote you a lullaby. Rock-a-bye, baby, awake in your bed as the thought of 2000 swirls in your head. It sure is tough to lose sleep over football. Not for me, though. Good night to you all.
There it is. Saquon getting a little bit. He's not going to get revenge in the form of the Eric Dickerson record, but he's getting his... My buddy yesterday texted me, you're sounding way too logical. You know, when's the last stupid take you had? You need to throw some stuff out there. Maybe this qualifies. The New York Giants still did the right thing. I am here to defend the New York Giants as the entire football world is laughing at them. We were wrong about Saquon's effectiveness. We were wrong about Derrick Henry, but I don't think we're wrong about the fit that Saquon would have been on the New York Giants this year. It's not like they didn't try to run him when he was busy getting hurt over the past few years. And he's 27. He'll be 28 in a month.
Is he going to rush for 2,000 yards with the Giants?
No.
No. Is he going to make the Giants a 13-win team?
No.
No. Was he going to take the Giants to the playoffs? Like no. Most no. likely no. Because we've seen it before because he's tried before. He's much more valuable to Philadelphia than he is to the New York Football Giants, right? He's much more valuable. You want to?
They still made the right call.
Running backs and closers are very similar. You do not need a closer on a 100-loss team.
Yep.
You don't need a $15 million closer, and you don't need a $15 million running back on a bad football team. What is the Giants say they underestimated his leadership? Well, you had his leadership for 4 years.
Yep.
What did it get you?
Yep. Exactly.
Doesn't get you anything on a bad team.
All right. Bobby has just given me the hand signals as we were talking about the NFC East because we have a Mike McCarthy update from the NFL Insiders. We will bring it to you next during the commercial-free expressway right here on The Fan. But every single Friday, Mark, Scott, and Gene want me to tell you the same thing. They want you to have a happy and safe weekend. That comes from the Tolo team of attorneys at Franklin Frankel. Man, enjoy the roads out there, y'all. I've had a smooth, knock on wood, smooth drive to work coming in these mornings. Has not been crazy and hectic, but maybe you were the victim on Christmas or during the New Year break. And if you got involved with the 18-wheeler, the drunk driver, the Uber, or the Lyft, go ahead and get the representation you deserve. You never pay anything out of pocket until they win your case at Franklin Frankel. 214 or 817, all threes. 214 or 817-333-3333. The website is frankelfirm.com. They got out-of-state cases. You can learn about their team as well. And again, you're going local, you're going experience, you're going with winners, and you're going with the Tolo squad. It's a Tolo team to help you out if you need them. So save the contact info and drop my name if that's the case. Franklin Frankel, Principal Office, Dallas, Texas. Good morning.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast.
Morning Metroplex, and the expressway is commercial free. We got a loaded junk drawer where we have to say goodbye to another member of the 105.3 The Fan family. That's coming up momentarily. The five things, and it's all kind of the same thing from RJ Choppy of what he wants to see Sunday, 9 a.m. pregame, kickoff at noon for Cowboys Commanders. RJ's five Cowboy things at 8 o'clock. Nick Eatman, final hour of the show. Bobby, what did you just see before we went to commercial break?
Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport have a fresh report up on the contract status of Mike McCarthy, which we've all been like, okay, season ends. And when the season ends, we're going to be in a position to know pretty quick if the Cowboys start interviewing candidates or how they're going to do this. Well, not so fast. Sources say Mike McCarthy's contract is set to expire on January 14th, which is 9 days after the season ends for the Cowboys. That gives the Cowboys an exclusive negotiating window of a little over a week, according to NFL rules. Also serves as a soft deadline to strike a deal or potentially lose McCarthy to another job. There are two windows of time for McCarthy in Dallas. As soon as the regular season ends, other teams can request permission from the Cowboys to interview McCarthy for coaching positions, and Dallas can choose whether to permit him to interview or reject it. Once McCarthy's contract expires on the 14th, no permission is required, and he's free to interview in person with other teams and accept a job at any time.
Okay.
They will not do a damn thing. They are going to take every last one of these next 11 days to do anything.
Yeah. They're going to drag this out, and they're not going to permit him to interview with another team, which it's like, if they're not going to bring him back, just say you're not going to bring him back and let him interview. You know, like the whole
yeah,
waiting game.
Freeze him out.
Freeze him out.
Like, if that's the case.
If that's the case, like, what does that do? Like, what does that get you?
Isn't it weird, though, that January 14th would be the expiration of the contract? What if the Cowboys went to the Super Bowl? We would have had a coach with an expiring deal.
So
weeks it's like, before the Super
players
Bowl?
Players don't get paid for the playoffs. They get a stipend, right?
Well, the language of the contract, I'm sure, would say something like expires January 14th or one day past the end of the season or something. I'm sure it's like whichever comes last kind of thing.
I hate Tom Pelissero for probably getting the word from McCarthy, hey, release this after my final interview on the radio. Because this came out 15 minutes ago instead of 1 hour ago when we could have asked Mike about it. So summarize this for us, Bobby. What does this mean? What should we take from this?
What's
surprising about it?
So everybody's assumption to this point, I think, has been that his contract was expiring on Monday or Tuesday. And that we would have some sort of movement, whether it be the Cowboys interviewing coaches or other teams approaching McCarthy for an interview or something that would be indicative of where are they heading. This right now means that we could still have that if Dallas grants permission to do certain things or if Dallas makes a decision on their own. But this right here says the Cowboys, and knowing the way that Jerry and the Cowboys have operated, if they so choose, they don't have to give us any indication on anything they're doing until at least a week and a half after the season ends. Which is probably what they'll do because that's how they operate.
They stay in the news.
And so we'll just be sitting here for 9 days.
But you lose other people unless you've already
got a handshake, unless you know you're going to keep Mike.
Yep.
You know, like the longer this thing drags out, the longer it goes, let's say it goes to the 14th and Vrabel's off the board and this guy and that guy.
Better for Mike.
It's much better for Mike.
Or if we get to the 14th and Vrabel for some reason has not taken a job and Vrabel's just sitting there, it's like, okay, well, there's something potentially lingering there. Vrabel would want this job 100%. He would want the Cowboys job.
He would want it, but I don't think it's his first choice.
I think his first choice isn't going to come open. Ohio State's not going to fire Ryan.
I mean, New England.
I don't think New England's his first choice.
I mean, that's what the reports say.
That's Barstool.
No, I don't think it's Barstool.
Well, then cite me who said it.
Like, I'm telling you, Mike Vrabel has told people for a year he would be interested in Dallas.
Not having it as like his number one is totally different.
Yeah,
he's.
But would you rather have the Patriot job than this one?
If I'm Mike Vrabel,
you would
absolutely.
Just because
I know the organization,
just 'cause you played there.
It's a more stable organization. It's a better organization.
Could have a better quarterback situation. Could
you want to go somewhere where they ran out Belichick and fired a former player after 1 year rather than Dallas, where they will hold on to Mike McCarthy for the entirety of his 5-year contract?
I'd rather be the guy to replace the guy. I'm sorry. I'd rather be the guy that replaces the guy that replaced the guy.
Don't you think a lot of people would probably vote New England is a better place to work?
Oh, no, not right now. No, I think a lot of people view New England as a ton of turmoil. New England's developing a reputation as use and abuse people without any loyalty.
Well, yeah, but I...
I'm just telling you, like, around the league...
I know, but, like, no one cried any tears for the Belichick departure and exit.
Sure, I don't mean just personal, I mean players, too. Like, for instance, for years, people leave New England and have just an absolutely bitter taste in their mouth about it. And that's consistently
been
the issue.
But was that because of Bill?
No, a lot of times, like...
Bill was the one, like, all right, see you later, cutthroat, bye-bye.
Sure, in that sense,
where
too.
Can we dump your body?
A lot of people view Kraft as an extension of that, and Kraft being just as cutthroat and difficult. And it's just... They were working in tandem so often, and then when they weren't, it became cutthroat for Bill. But yeah, they have historically been used as or looked at as a team that uses players, uses coaches, and makes things difficult for them.
So you think this is a better job than there?
Yeah, and I think Vrabel would want this job over the Patriots.
877-881-1053. I am going to stamp that as a Bobby Belt report that Mike Vrabel would definitely be interested. As we've been, took a while to get it out of Bobby. We've been knowing it behind the scenes, but he finally came out and just said it. All right, we got Cowboys Commanders. We can pick the game if you want, whatever. 8:00. But I think what's more interesting, RJ Choppy, end of the season, now stacking up the entire NFC East.
All right, so... Coach, GM, quarterback, ownership.
Okay.
Those are four categories. So we can rank these. You get 4 points for the number one, and you get 1 point for being number four. And then you guys can fill in the blank on what happens with number two and number three.
So it's coach, GM, quarterback, and what?
Owner.
Coach, GM, quarterback, ownership.
Okay.
Love it. Love it.
So let's try and see where the Cowboys stack up in the NFC East.
Okay.
Ownership. You got Jerry. You got Lurie. You got Josh. And you got Mara.
You're not top two.
No.
I'm going to put Josh and Lurie. One, two. Oh, I guess we have to decide for the point system. Who's the best owner in the East, Bobby? I guess right now I'll say Lurie.
I agree. I think we have it all. I think you and I have it the same. I've got Philly.
So that means we have to give Philly 4 points?
Yeah.
Okay.
Philly and then Washington, and dead last to me is Mara.
Okay. I'll agree with that. So the Cowboys get 2 points. Cowboys have the third best ownership, we'll say, in the division.
Okay. I have Mara 4, Josh 3rd. I have Jerry 1st. Jerry's the best owner in the division. He's the worst GM, but he's the best owner.
The owner would be in charge of
the GM,
hiring the GM. So that would automatically...
Ownership to me is in charge of everything.
Why is he the best owner?
I mean, Jerry Stoll's, the buck stops with him on everything. So he answers for all that.
Yeah, but don't listen to what Jerry says.
I mean, do you think that there's anything that doesn't end with Jerry's decision?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that don't end with Jerry's decision. Maybe not for the coach.
So why do you think he's the best owner?
I mean, they've the most consistent team for 20 years, right? There's nobody has been a more consistent, successful team for 20 years.
Okay.
They also, ownership is money is part of the ownership. Brand is a part of the ownership.
No doubt, no doubt.
So, I mean, I he's going to be probably the worst GM of the bunch.
Okay.
All right, but from it, I'm separating the two.
Do we definitively say they've been better over 20 years than the Eagles? Philly? I don't think so.
Well, Philadelphia has had rebuilds. Cowboys haven't had rebuilds.
The Eagles have finished with fewer than 7 wins twice in 20 years.
And the only time the Cowboys have done it is when their quarterbacks got hurt.
But
the Cowboys
have been to
us. They've won a Super Bowl and they've lost a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's 2 years. For 20 years, I'm going back to 04 here.
All right, they're his own ratings. Go ahead.
Next one. Coaching. You got Sirianni, you got Quinn, you got McCarthy, you got Daboll.
Well, I have to put Daboll last.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear Bobby's 1, 2, 3 here. God, I can't give that douche the top credit in Philadelphia.
Number 4 is Dallas. Just kidding. Relax.
Are you going Deke?
I'm going Dan Quinn's number 1.
Oh.
I don't think that's controversial.
I don't think so either.
I think Dan Quinn's number 1. Sirianni 2. McCarthy, Daboll.
McCarthy's 3rd for you. Dan Quinn is 1 for me. Mike McCarthy is 2 for me. Sirianni is 3 for me, just because I believe like McCarthy would have a more consistent culture than Sirianni. Sirianni may be a better X's and O's coach. I don't know, but it's a roller coaster, like separations, Big Dom, all that stuff. So Sirianni to me, I know it sounds crazy. I have him as number 3 in the division.
I changed my mind. I'm with you. I'll put McCarthy too.
McCarthy, I put him as the second best coach behind Dan Quinn. What's Siri think?
Siri, I don't know what Siri wanted to think there. You guys are nuts. Sirianni's easily the best coach.
I'm not going to insult it. I mean, his run of success, but you're putting aside the Eagles' success for the owner argument, but you're not doing it for the coach.
But it's a smaller window. It's 3 years.
Okay.
I think Dan Quinn's a boob. I can't stand Dwayne. I'm so glad the Cowboys didn't hire
him.
I think he's an absolute boob.
Why?
That feels like a take to have a take. I don't understand.
Because he has a backwards hat cowherd?
I mean, look, the head coach, he dresses like a moron. Wow. He's not CEO-y, but like, he was a disaster in Atlanta.
A disaster? He should have won the Super Bowl.
That would have happened after that. They were a train wreck every year.
Okay.
I mean, they hung on too long there.
What about this first year here?
Great, because he got a quarterback.
Okay, well, he had a Hall of Fame, in your mind, guy in Matt Ryan.
Yeah, and they did well. Okay. And then the moment that Matt started his decline, Dan Quinn wasn't good enough to get him out of it.
All right, so what are your ratings? Dan's the worst?
No. Dayball's the worst.
Okay.
Then Dan, then Mike, and then Sirianni by a milli. Sirianni by more than what Texas should have beat Arizona State by.
Okay. And what besides Sirianni are you just pointing to the records?
With Sirianni?
Yeah. What do you like?
Oh, I love his attitude. I love the culture he actually. I do love his culture. Okay. I love toxic.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I love
that's
that.
What that is.
Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. It's got such like bad boy piston vibes. I love it.
Oh, my. NFC East rankings, the RJ Choppy scale, as only Ralph can do here on the expressway.
Yeah, but Rick Mahorn didn't foul Bill Laimbeer like all the time. Like that's where that's different.
Yeah, no, you're right.
All right.
General manager, you got Howie. You got Adam Peters in Washington. You got Jerry and you got Joe Shane.
Ooh. Howie's one. Peters is two. Again, this is very convenient to do after a first-year playoff thing, but I've heard plenty from the D.C. people about Peters. Jerry is three and Shane is four.
I got the same except flip Howie, that fraud, and make Adam Peters the number one GM in the division.
Why?
Because I believe in just in general the San Francisco team building philosophy and how it's worked out. And Peters comes from that, and it's already clicking into place in Washington. Whereas Howie, I think, makes so many different volumes of moves. Everybody was like, Howie, that madman, he's done it again. Oh, and then when you go back and look back, about half the things that people are bitching about when Howie does them is like, why couldn't we do that? They blow up in his face.
The Chris Ballard of the NFC.
They keep going forward.
Howie's best trait is that he will recognize an error and move on from it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like he did with Wentz, right? He recognized that it was a bad sign and moved on from it. I have the same as Sean. I got Philly 1, Washington 2. And then the Cowboys and the Giants.
Ooh, I'm surprised that with the Cowboys' success and record and regular season wins, you have Jerry that low.
I don't like their team building philosophy. It's going to sound crazy. Their team building philosophy is just find the best player, right? I just want good players. That's a great way to get to the postseason. It's a terrible way to try to win in a salary cap era because you've got to find players that positions that matter. Right. And not it doesn't matter whether the player's good at defensive tackle. It doesn't matter how good they are. Just find a league average guy. You'll be fine. So I don't care for their team building philosophy, even though they made the playoffs. And now you got quarterback. You got Hurts, Daniels, Dak, and Daniel Jones.
Well, Daniel Jones isn't even on their roster.
Well,
yeah,
true. But I don't know who else they had. They Drew Lock.
Whoever the number one pick is.
Whoever the number one. Yeah.
The Giants are last.
Do that. Do pick. Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to put the Giants last.
Yeah.
You could say they're going to have Cam Ward or Shador.
Last.
Okay.
All right. So you're putting the Giants last.
Oh, gosh. Who wants to go first? This is painful.
Dallas goes first.
Dallas has the best quarterback?
Yeah. It's for me, it's Dallas, Washington, Philly, Giants. Jaden Daniels is better than I thought he was going to be.
Yes, he is. The issue is that Washington has the cheat code right now. They're the only one in the division that has the cheat code. The Giants are about to have it.
The rookie contract.
And that is the rookie contract quarterback. That's an NFL cheat code.
Yeah, Daniel Jones was such a cheat code for the Giants. Like, if you're good.
They went to the playoffs, though. Like, he's bad. And he was cheap enough that they still went to the postseason. Like, that's the cheat code, right? That's the cheat code that you're looking for.
They never were a contender, though.
They were never a contender, but like I'm saying is he was so cheap that you were able to get the good enough roster around him to make the playoffs.
What's your quarterback order?
I would put it as Philly, Washington, Dallas, and the Giants.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I will go Giants, worst situation. The second worst situation is Philadelphia. Then Jaden, second, Dak, one.
Until right.
He completely falls apart physically. So I'm going to go Dak, the best quarterback in the division. Watch the Fantex blow up off this. 877-881-1053.
By the way, this is, even though Dak is number one in the division, that is definitely up for debate heading into next year. Where you don't know how he's going to bounce back health-wise. Like if he gets hurt again, now you're talking about he's broken.
With my ratings, the Washington Commanders have the best situation in the NFC East. The Eagles have the second best. The Cowboys have the third best. And then the Giants are dead last in every single category. So it goes 13, 12, 11, and then 4 for me in my rankings. And I can't believe I somehow didn't have Philly come out on top of everything. 13, 12, 11, 4, Washington, Philly, Dallas, the Giants.
I got Washington with 14 points, Philly and Dallas tied with 11, and then the Giants with 4.
I have Philly with 15 running away. Cowboys with 11, Washington with 10, and the Giants with, I guess, 4. They're so bad.
We all have 4. And they're the, like, the Pittsburgh.
I know.
Green Bay.
Yeah.
Model.
I know.
The family.
They are.
The consistency.
They try to be.
Not flash.
They've screwed it up. They've screwed it up. And this is where, like.
They're supposed to be the definition of stable.
The Giants, back in, like, the late 70s, Pete Rozelle went up and said, fix your franchise. Like, your franchise sucks. We need New York to be good. And they went and they hired George Young and they hired Bill Parcells. I don't see Goodell doing the same thing that Rozelle used to do to all the franchises. Fix your franchise. Roger doesn't do that. He doesn't care.
Tolo Chris said, no one in the National Football League. I'm glad you borrowed that point from me from a couple months ago.
Did you say that?
No. Yeah, because Lombardi said that. I relayed it from the GM shuffle.
Ah.
No one in the National Football League would take, this is Tolo Chris, Sean and Bobby, terrible opinions from Barkley. No one in the NFL would take Dak over Daniels for now or the next few years. Look, I'm not.
It's the contract.
I'm not worried about the contract. I'm just trying to decide, like, next year, if healthy, obviously for the future, I'm taking Jaden. And if you want to take Jaden next year, I'm not going to fight you on that. I don't feel great about my quarterback rankings. And you can make an argument for Hurts as well. The Hurts thing is just going back and forth on whether he can throw well enough for me.
The thing with Jaden is, you know, CJ Stroud did have a little bit of a slump this year, sophomore slump.
Yeah.
A significant one.
Like, it's totally plausible that happens to Jaden next year.
Of course.
And the league adjusts, and now it's on you to adjust. This is going to happen to every player that isn't like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right? You're just going to have
end of Joey Gallo's career.
Although Patrick Mahomes was not great this year either. Missed out on the Pro Bowl.
All right. Very good exercise. Cowboys, Commanders, Sunday, 9 a.m. pregame kickoff at noon. Let's get to the junk.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
This is where we clean up everything from the holidays and the week here, Friday edition, commercial-free expressway on Sean, RJ, and Roberto. And we're going to start with Chris Strong in for Peyton Russell as old spy Peyton, spy Pate, went by and was snooping and being nosy and broke the news to us that Chris Strong is the next to leave 105.3 The Fan.
What?
Why? Where are you going?
We were always going to get... I knew we would always get 6 solid shows a year. Because Chris would step in and cover those 6 every time Peyton would miss because of a game.
What's happening?
I'm hitting the transfer portal to go to number 1, Eugene, Oregon. With my girlfriend. We're going 4 days. I'm...
You're going for four days and you're quitting the Fan?
We're 4-day drive.
Oh.
4-day drive all the way over. And
In Moab.
Stop in Moab, maybe. Stop in California somewhere.
What's in Oregon?
Oregon, well, a full-time gig, ideally, out there for
radio?
Me. I'm hoping for a radio gig. I don't have anything lined up yet over there. But
kids.
But why are you?
So my girlfriend does have a full-time opportunity over there, so that's pretty great for us. And it's a region that we've loved growing up, so yeah, making the move.
Are you from there?
No, I have family up in Washington State, but no one in Oregon, so.
Have you gotten any feedback from Gavin Dawson yet about like the great places to do yoga or anything like that?
Yeah, I got good yoga places, the minor league hockey teams out there from Spitz, but yeah, I mean, it's a big change for me, but we're living right across from the campus, right off Oregon, and so I was pretty bummed with Ohio State pulling through.
Do you have an umbrella?
I do have. I have multiple umbrellas.
I can tell
that's
you
a man car violation. You're 60.
I can tell you, and I'm sure he was going to here shortly, but I can tell you, Chris, that this was very disappointing news to Sean Sharif.
Yeah, I don't compliment everyone who leaves here.
Especially now you're going to have Russ as the backup.
Be memorable.
Russ, I think.
It doesn't matter.
Be nice. Be memorable, be nice. Oh, yeah, there's a little punk who came up to me, and I can't remember how it happened. We were at a bar, and I think I offered to buy the guy a drink, and I was like, you look familiar. Maybe he came up to me, and I was like, what's your name again? And then he wrote me this long, sad DM of, I had my feelings hurt. You didn't know who I was. I had to ask, even while you're buying me the drink. And I wrote back, well, the life lesson in this is you should be more memorable.
Be more memorable.
You know?
Yeah.
Be better.
If that means you got to get funky hairstyle, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
A Ruben earring.
Yeah. A Ruben earring. Ruben's earring is amazing because he changes which one is the dangly one.
I know.
You never know which one's coming in.
That girlfriend shook his life up.
Oh, it did, man.
Damn, she shook him up.
Yeah, yeah. I think the mustache game is taking a big fall, though, at the station, if we're being real.
When are you leaving?
I'm leaving the 15th, so last day is the 12th. Got some weekend shows, got some TSN reports to do.
So what have you scouted in terms of, like, is it radio first for you out there?
Radio first. So I've looked into Oregon athletics, and okay. I'm big into running, which that's known for being
look at
a track
you, Prefontaine.
Town. Steve Prefontaine.
Do they have sports talk stations out there?
They have an AM, on the AM side. They do for it's not an Odyssey station, but they do have a sports station as well.
All right, you applied. You try to.
Yeah, I've applied, but I'm looking more for a 9-to-5er, like full timer. Gig. So
how far from Portland is this?
It's 2 hours south. 2 hours south of Portland. Okay. So I'll be taking the Amtrak up. Love my trains. I'll take my trains up to Portland.
Well, look,
I love my trains too.
You're, I thought you were very, very good at your job. Incredible attitude, positive 110% of the time. Always willing to learn. Upbeat attitude. Very good. Model employee, in my opinion. Whenever people like you leave, I do say it sucks for the company. Sometimes I want to blame the company. I can't this time. I blame your girlfriend. but if we had a lot more Chris Chongs, we'd be even better than we are.
Never rattled.
I'm going to cut that.
Yeah, exactly. Send that to Oregon.
Send that to Phil Knight.
Never rattled. Doesn't get it. It's easy for guys to let problems stack up on top of problems because it can get overwhelming and never gets rattled. So. It sucks because I always felt like I knew that we would get something reliable a couple times, and now we're just going to have to rely on Peyton all the time.
That's why Peyton probably took off today. He's helping. People are expecting Bobby to help McCarthy pack. Peyton is at Chris's apartment packing his ass up.
This is by far the most impactful departure from the city of Dallas we're getting on January 15th is Chris Strong, for sure.
True. Yes. I mean, the Shut last up. Day on the fan could be the same as Mike McCarthy.
There we go.
Mm. All right, so Chris, we bid adieu. Well done.
Cheers.
And let Bobby know if you need anything else. 877-881-1053, the junk drawer here on 105.3 The Fan.
I found our next show bet payoff.
Oh, baby.
There is the most haunted hotel in the state of Texas is up for sale. And they do not currently allow you to stay there, but they do allow you to stay there if you're doing paranormal activity research.
Right? Wait, I can't imagine why their business model didn't work. Yes. You're not allowed to stay at the hotel.
Yes, the Old Park Hotel, built in 1886, the most haunted hotel in the state. And it's up for sale.
Where is it?
It's in Ballinger, which is like South Abilene. So it's a couple hours away. But it's this is the next show bet payoff.
Ooh. I say I'll do it.
Because you don't believe in ghosts.
I don't believe in ghosts.
You're like the judge in Ghostbusters 2.
But then I do believe, like, if you're in the house yourself and it's 10 p.m. and you hear anything.
Right.
Your mind starts, like, that San Francisco hotel. When I did go to the room after we went in that elevator, I was freaked out a little bit when I felt like my initials were carved into the elevator.
Yeah, they were. The inside of the elevator said Sean Sharif.
I think it was like SOS.
SOS or SS?
I don't remember.
I think it was.
It was something where I was like, that's not common.
Yeah, especially because it was the same way he writes his S's on his signature.
Was that really that?
No, it wasn't.
Oh. It was something related to my name, and I'm like, that's not common.
That's not common. That's not kind. It was very weird, that hotel.
You know what they do? They probably look at your name on the check-in sheet and they go and carve it into the elevator before you go.
I'd tell myself that too.
That's you what know, I'll sign up for it. I'll sign up for the
I'll
next
sign up for
March
it.
Madness next show bet payoff. We can do it.
Yeah,
you got no problem with that.
Okay, you're not scared of that stuff.
No, not really. I it's never gotten to me like that. Like,
so are you, do you believe more, do you believe in ghosts?
No.
And where do we stay in OKC?
I don't remember the name of the hotel, but it was right across the street from their arena, whatever it's called, whatever their arena is.
Yeah.
It was right across the street from it. It was like a haunted place.
All right. There it is. It's up for sale. Does it say the price, by the way?
I don't see the price.
Okay.
On here, no.
All right. I found my new favorite athlete, Magnus Carlsen. Now, you're familiar with Magnus Carlsen. Do you know who this is? Nope. Nope, this is a real athlete.
It does sound like a weightlifter's name, Magnus Carlsen.
This is a mental athlete. Magnus Carlsen is the world's number one chess player.
Oh, the jeans guy.
Uh-huh.
This is the jeans
this
guy.
This is me. This is my kind of dude. Magnus Carlsen shows up to a chess tournament. He is the world's number one chess player. He is this, like this savant. He was this, oh, from a very young age, like Tiger Woods of chess, just brought up to be a chess player. Well, he is the chess grandmaster. And he was defending his title at the World Rapid and Blitz Chess Championships in New York when an incident occurred. Officials said Magnus Carlsen had broken the dress code regulations by wearing jeans. They asked him to change, but he refused. The governing body issued the reigning champion a $200 fine, and Carlsen, the world champion between 2013 and 2023, said he had a lunch meeting before the round and had to change quickly. He said, I put on a shirt, jacket, and honestly, I didn't even think about jeans, even changed my shoes. I didn't even think about it. First of all, I got, which is a fine to find, but he goes in there, he says he switches into the jeans, and after they were being so petty about it, he's like, all right, well, I'm not changing. I'm just leaving.
That is so bad.
And he quits. I would absolutely
quit the tournament?
Yeah, he quit. He left. He was like, all right, well, then I'm just not playing.
And what is the dress code supposed to be? Dress pants?
Yeah, you're supposed to wear slacks. And he was like, no, I'm wearing jeans. I got a sport coat on. I've got a button down. I came from lunch. I'm wearing jeans.
What's worse, that or the Wimbledon white?
Yeah, the Wimbledon white is...
Do you, like, respect it?
I mean, I guess I respect it. Yeah, I mean, like, you got a dress code, right? That country club has a dress code.
Okay.
You know, it's like when I went to play congressional, their rule is, gentlemen, remove your cover. That's what it says on the outside.
Remove your cover?
Your hat.
Oh, you not your white off. Mask no, like Augusta?
Yeah, you got to take your hat off when you enter.
No, they want you to keep the white mask on.
Yeah. When you enter the building, you got to take your hat off. Like, that's their rule.
Light your torch.
Yeah, that's your rule. God. That's their rule. That's congressional. Take your hat off. So you got to adhere to it. So I respect that.
But I respect anybody who just blows off a dress code like that. As somebody who wore Converse and jeans and a polo to my brother's wedding.
Yeah, you wear a formal outfit to the randoms.
Yeah.
Hey, don't make them call it again on you. Yeah. She roasted you pretty good last time.
She did. Was that Cam?
Cat. Not Cam Scataboo.
Look at a formal. Man, you see, Will Chambers uses his tux like once a month.
God, he's so desperate. He's so desperate to wear that stupid tux. He's like cheesing. He's like, I'm going out for New Year's. And he's the only one wearing a tux.
He's the only one wearing a tux.
Well, man, you missed the...
He's going to be buried in that thing.
You missed the greatest... Crosstalk since Alec telling us he was a drug courier.
Oh man.
When Sean sat here and just basically played psychologist with Will about why are you single? Why is no
and
woman?
And he was great with the answers.
Yet? Yeah, he was very introspective.
That's the first thing. Spittle like sat me down. He said, that was a great crosstalk.
Yeah. It was like, very, very personal.
It was very good. You think you have the goat? I have the goat.
Oh.
It is the Texas cheerleader who poisoned her rival's goat.
Oh, yeah.
The 17-year-old cutthroat psycho out of Austin, Aubrey Van Landingham. She was a cheerleader, president of the Futures Farmers of America, and apparently she was so competitive, she poisoned her rival's goat in order to go ahead and win her contest or be the queen of the goats. Yeah.
You saw this?
Yeah, she tricked the goat, thinking she was gonna give the goat meal.
That was bad.
That was just bad. Facing the prospect of up to 2 years in prison if convicted of poisoning 6-month-old Willie twice over a 3-day period, she showed no remorse. She told the police, "I don't like cheaters." and all I can look at is I'm looking at this girl like the type of. The type of psycho attraction that people will have and that similar feeling. And she's just like this little brunette who's like, I don't care. It doesn't matter. She injected the farm animal with pesticide at the school's barn facility, leaving him bellowing in pain before dying in the 15-year-old owner's arms.
Twice in 3 days, which means she did it. And she was like,
she went back and injected
this
again.
Is not enough. Yeah. He needs another dose.
Yeah, she needs another dose of Gatorade.
He needs a booster.
They caught the Google search.
A booster.
How much bleach
takes him with his Pfizer, Willie.
How much bleach kills a goat? And she named the goat Kelsey afterwards.
Oh, my God.
If goats...
this goat won't die. Something's go to give.
RJ's not going to stop until we laugh.
Nope.
He's not going to laugh. Bobby's cough is acting up.
So this was it. What did he die of? Poisoning or myocarditis?
All right. That's enough.
She's gonna show up at America's Goat Talent.
It's... Good luck in Oregon. Good luck. You'll be leaving the...
This happened around Christmas time. She's really bah humbug.
The five things RJ needs to see on Sunday, and all five are the same thing. Cowboys Commanders preview is only we can do it next on The Fan. And of course, I have to be.
Like, here we go again.
No. Can we get to different animal talk here with Hurtado?